Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
And listen, when I was a kid, by the way, we're going to be in 1 Kings chapter 17 this morning. When I was a kid, when I was 5 years old, my dad and my mom took me and my brother and my sister on a trip to Disneyland. My first trip to Disneyland. Actually, it was supposed to be my second trip. The first trip, my father got ready. We got up real early in the morning. We got packed in the back seat of the car, and then we went over to pick up one of my father's friends and his son, Leo and Nikki, and we went to pick them up. Leo came down to the car, and he said, listen, my dad's name was Paul. He said, Paul, we're not going to be able to go because Nikki is sick. And I said, oh, no. Disneyland. And my dad said, oh, wow. Well, if you're not going to be able to go, I don't think we'll go either. And my heart sunk. But my dad got right with God, and later on, he took us to Disneyland. When I went to Disneyland, one of the first things I remember was walking into an area called Tomorrowland. When we walked into Tomorrowland, there was a great big rocket ship that was standing there in the middle. There was a place where you could go in and blast off to the moon. It was really great. But one of the things that I remember, even just as a little child, I can remember going through an exhibit. And as we walked through this exhibit, there was a big glass dome, and you walked through, and Walt Disney talked about what the cities of tomorrow were going to be like. And he gave us a vision of what it was going to be like in tomorrow, what it was going to be like in the future. And there was just one picture after another picture. There were people, little things, little men moving on sidewalks and moving sidewalks everywhere. You didn't have to walk anywhere. There were these cars that were flying down the road just flying. There was all sorts of neat things. I was watching that. I thought, man, that's amazing. That's amazing. And I just went through from one little exhibit to the other little exhibit, holding my dad's hand, watching what it was going to be like tomorrow. That was in 1960. In 1982, the Disney World Corporation opened Epcot Center. Epcot Center stands for Epcot Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow. It was 22 years after Walt Disney envisioned what it was going to be like. Now, it wasn't everything that Walt Disney planned. And to this day, it's not everything Walt Disney planned. But the point is this. He had a vision of what could take place. He had a vision of what it could be like. He had a vision of what was going to happen. And because of that, today, our world really has been changed by the thinking of one man. And there's a place in Florida you can go to and visit Epcot Center, which is a visionary place to help you think about tomorrow. Pastor Matt and I were talking about this year. We were talking about what we want to do at Liberty Baptist Church this year. What were the things that we really wanted to see God accomplish in our church this year? And as we talked about that, we came up with the theme, Tomorrowland. That we ought to not allow the circumstances around us to dictate how we view God's plan for us throughout this year and the years to come. That we ought to understand that it is our God that controls everything. Can you say amen to that? That no matter what's going on, God has a consistent message for us to deliver and a consistent life that he wants us to deliver. consistent life that he wants us to live. God wants us to live with a vision of what he has in store for us. And he wants us not to just sit back and wait for him to come. Oh, Lord Jesus, look how bad things are. It's just horrible. It's like 2023. We thought you were coming in 2010. And now we're in 2023. What happened to Y2K? God, we were supposed to come then. We had food just in case you didn't. It was all stored up, but it didn't happen. And God, now it's 2023. Oh, Jesus, please come. Oh, Father, please send the Lord Jesus. He doesn't know when he's coming, but you do. But you please send him. God doesn't want us to do that. In fact, when the disciples came to Jesus, and Jesus had died and was buried and rose from the dead, he's meeting with them, and he's about to ascend into heaven. And they said, are you about to set up your kingdom? Jesus said, look, boys, stop talking about the kingdom. Only God knows when I'm coming. Only the Father knows when I'm coming. But here's what's going to happen. In Acts 1:8, he said, you will receive power. He was talking to them, and he was talking to us. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be witnesses. The idea is you're going to be witnesses in this present world. You will be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus said, listen, quit thinking about when we're going to come back and establish the 1,000-year reign. Start living it now. Start living the kingdom now. Go out and start promoting the kingdom. Start going everywhere, here in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. I want you to understand, when Jesus said that here in a little nation called Israel, in a little place called Jerusalem, and I want you to see where we are right now. We're right here in the uttermost parts of the earth. Do you know what? What Jesus told them to do, they did. Can you say amen to that? Because they didn't just focus on, oh, Jesus, please come. Oh, Jesus, please come. They went out and they told the world about God. They didn't let the circumstances, they were under Roman oppression. Their lives were being threatened. They didn't let the circumstances stop them from thinking about what were the possibilities with the power of God in their lives. And I want you to understand that the power of God that he invested in them is invested in you and me. So we see in the Bible story after story after story of people who lived in dire straits, people who lived in strange circumstances, and yet they moved forward and they advanced the kingdom of God until Jesus came and then advanced the kingdom more. It's an amazing. So we've decided this year that we're going to go through, for the first 12 weeks of this year, we're going to go through a series, both myself and Pastor Matt. We're going to share this series as we go through this series on Tomorrowland. We thought no more perfect place to start that was that in the book of 1 Kings. And here's why. 1 Kings tells the story of how God used a nobody named Elijah to effect a kingdom. Say a nobody? Yeah, let's look at this story. Let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 17. Let me tell you this. This story starts off with several different characters. The characters, number one, are Jeroboam. Jeroboam was the first wicked king of Jerusalem. Jeroboam, here's what took place. God had ordained, you know the story, Saul as the king of Israel, because the nation of Israel rebelled against his being their king, and they said, we want a king like everybody else. And so God established Saul as a king. Well, Saul was a disobedient king, and so he replaced him with David. David was a man after God's own heart, did what God wanted him to do. He messed up in the area of Uriah the Hittite, but he followed God, did what God wanted him to do, and God blessed his kingdom because of that. And he said, I'm going to give your son a kingdom, and your descendants are going to reign on the throne of Israel until the great king comes. But what happened was after Solomon came in, and Solomon served the Lord with all of his heart and soul and mind for about the first 20 years of his of his reign. And then his heart was turned. He married a woman who worshipped Baal and brought that worship into Israel. And God said, because of that, Solomon, when you die, your son Rehoboam is going to take over. Your son Rehoboam will become king, but because of your disobedience, because you worshiped another god, you put somebody else before me, I'm going to split the kingdom. In fact, 10 of the tribes are going to go with a man named Jeroboam, and he's going to become the first king of Israel, and your son is only going to reign over two tribes, and that would be Judah, and that would the tribe from which he was from, and the tribe of Benjamin. And that took place. When Rehoboam took over as king, after Solomon died, when Rehoboam took over as king, then Jeroboam split the kingdom, and he took 10 tribes and to the north and became a kingdom in and of itself. Now, Jeroboam was very concerned because he knew that all the people of Israel worshipped in Jerusalem, and that's where Solomon's temple was, and that's where Rehoboam was king. And he thought, look, if these people go back to Jerusalem and worship God in the temple the way God has prescribed that they do so, if they go back to Jerusalem, then their loyalties are going to go back to Jerusalem, which was also the capital of Israel. So he said, I can't have them going back to worship there. So he said, here's what we'll do. We'll set up two more places of worship, one called Bethel and one in a town called Dan. And we'll establish worship there in that town, and in those two towns, and they'll go there to worship God instead of going to the temple like God told them to. So it's a little disobedience, but we'll worship the same God. And this is what we'll do. We'll make a golden calf in both places, and they can worship their God with a golden calf, and that'll make it look impressive. And so he did that, and he led the nation of Israel into false worship. Jeroboam, this wicked king, did that. Now, about 40 years later, after his reign, the kingdom is getting really, really bad. They're not just worshiping the true God in the false ways. They begin to worship God, worship false gods. And a king named Omri comes on the scene. Omri, again, this is only 40 years after Solomon. Omri comes on the scene, and he begins to reign. I said 40 years, probably 50 years. He begins to reign. And the Bible says this. And look, if you've turned in your Bibles to 1 Kings, the Bible says this about Omri in verse 25. It says, but Omri wrought evil. This is 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 25. It says, but Omri wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord and did worse than all that were before him. He's the one that was used to name the area Samaria. He got them to do wicked, wicked things. He reigns for 12 years, and then he dies. And his son, who is the next king, his son, Ahab, becomes the king. When Ahab becomes king, this is what the Bible says about him. Look at verse 30. It says, and Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam. He did all the wicked things that Jeroboam did, but worse. Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel. This is Ahab and Jezebel, some of the wickedest people in the Bible. Well, you saw that in the series that Pastor Matt took you through. Jezebel, wicked woman. He took Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. He leads them into full Baal worship. This nation now that was established by God is now under the leadership of Ahab and Jezebel, worshiping false gods. Terrible, terrible things are going on. Spiritually, they've walked away from God. Socially, they've become followers of Baal. And in following and worshiping Baal, they were sacrificing their babies. They were killing babies to the Lord. They weren't unborn babies. They waited until the babies were born, and then they sacrificed those babies to the Lord. Euthanasia. Wow. Morally, he married strange women, which was saying that immorality was rampant in the area. And not only that, they started allowing what God calls the Sodomites into the land. In chapter 14 and verse 24, the Bible says the Sodomites were in the land, and they were permitted, and they were making inroads within the land. Influentially, they lost their influence. They weren't influencing other nations. Now other nations were influencing them. And financially, they became a debtor nation. That's the circumstances that are taking place. You have these kings, you have this wicked queen and this wicked king now leading the nation of Israel. And the whole nation is corrupt. Does any of this sound familiar to you? And then you've got this guy, and really, this guy is a nobody. By the way, let me just say this about this nobody we're going to talk about. He's mentioned in four tremendous ways in the New Testament. It's said about John the Baptist that he came in the spirit and the power of Elijah. He was the one that was going to announce and promote the coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Elijah is one of the two people that actually met with the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Tremendous. A position of honor. One, Moses on the right hand, Elijah on the left hand. Wow, there they were. Elijah became a great person of power, but the Bible tells us, and we'll see this in just a minute, that he was a man of like passions, just like you and me. But God uses somebody. At this point, nobody knows about Elijah. Nobody's heard about Elijah. He doesn't come from a royal family. He's not rich and famous. He's just a nobody in a nation nobody in a nation that's doing nothing, going nowhere, and nobody is influenced by it whatsoever. They're spiritually bankrupt. They're morally bankrupt. They're killing babies. Their influence is gone. Elijah obviously is burdened about this. And thinking, what? Somebody needs to do something. And since nobody's doing anything, Elijah allows God to put him in the middle of the circumstances. The Bible says in chapter 17, and Elijah the Tishbite. This is a city that was not even in the main area of Israel. He probably was not full Israelite. Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, comes and confronts this king. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, he says to the king. Can you imagine the king's waiting? People are coming in to see the king, and he walks up to the king, expecting everybody to tell him how wonderful he is. Elijah comes in and says, listen, because of your sin, because of what you're doing, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, because God, the word Lord is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that's Jehovah God. Because the true God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, he said, I am in his presence on a daily basis. There shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my words. He says, like, he's in an arid, you need to understand, he's in an arid climate. This is like saying to Las Vegas, no more water for the next 3.5 years. But he didn't say 3.5 years. He said, there will not be any rain until I say so. That's pretty arrogant. Hey, king, I came here to give you a message from God, and the message is from God, you're not getting any rain in this place until I say so. But according to my word, Now, as soon as he makes that announcement, he is not the most popular guy in the world, you understand? He's just made a declaration against the king, and this is a wicked king and a wicked queen, and he's made it obviously publicly so that people know. The Bible says the word of the Lord came unto him saying, God speaks to him, and he listens to what God says. Get thee hence. Get out of here, kid. You delivered the message. It's not going to be safe for you to hang around here. So get out of here and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Now, he could have said, wait a minute, God, you told me to do this. You're the big guy. You just take care of me. I'm staying here. And he'd have died. Do you understand? Sometimes God tells you to go hide. You better just do what God says to do. Can you say amen to that? So he did what God told him. He said, listen, okay, you've delivered the message, hide. They're coming after you. Go down to the brook Cherith and hide thyself. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. You go down there, you're going to drink. There's not going to be any water up here, so you just go down where the brook is, and you're going to drink of that brook. The water's going to keep coming, and ravens are going to feed you. Well, that's interesting. You got to trust God for that, right? So he went. Isn't that amazing? Listen to that, verse 5. So he went. He did what God told him to do. Doesn't sound reasonable. It doesn't sound like, why should I run and hide, God? You're my God. No, if God says do it, do it. So he went, and he did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and he dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread. I mean, it's one thing to know God wants you to do something, and then you're in the midst of it, and then you see God providing, and you say, wow, look, God, look what you're doing. So the ravens bring him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. So he's eating well when everybody else, because of the judgment of God, they're going without water, and they're going without food. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Just as God directs you to go one place, he'll direct you to go someplace else. The brook dried up, and God allowed him to see this isn't where you're to be anymore. The Bible doesn't say that the word of the Lord came to him directly, but the brook dried up, and then the Lord does come. You can see when God is moving you from one place to another. And then the Bible says, after the brook dried up, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. So go out of here, go to Zarephath, to Zidon, another country, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman. She wasn't a big woman, she was a widow woman. I'm sorry, it's the new year. I shouldn't have been out so late last night at the strip. But anyway, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now listen, God tells this widow, a prophet's coming, and I want you to take care of him. But here's the deal. We'll see this in just a minute. The widow didn't have anything. She had very little. She was about to cook her last piece of bread, and then her and her kid were going to go die. But God came to her. Now he has to trust. He's leaving the place where the ravens have been feeding him, and he's going to another country, and he's going to a woman he's never met before, and God's saying there's going to be a little widow there that's going to help you, and she's going to feed you. He's got to trust that and get up and go looking for a widow in a place called Zarephath in a country called Zidon. And then there's this lady in Zidon who God said, hey, listen, there's a guy, and by the way, this guy wasn't like dressed fancy. He was like, he dressed in animal hair and a belt, the Bible says. That's how he's described. He's going to come here. When he gets here, I want you to feed him and take care of her. How am I going to do that? I just got this little bit of meal. Just do what I say. And this is so neat. This is so neat. The Bible says, he said, get there. I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose, and he went to Zarephath. He did exactly what God told him to do. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering sticks. And he called her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Go get some water for me to drink. It's like, that. Well, that's pretty selfish. Come up to a widow and say, hey, I want something. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her. He said, oh, wait a minute, wait, there's something else. Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Don't just get me some water, get me something to eat. And she said, as the Lord thy God, and she, again, this is Jehovah, she addresses the name Jehovah, L, capital O, capital R, capital D, thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal. I don't have anything to feed you. All I have is a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. That's like a pitcher. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. This is a very optimistic lady. All I have is this little bit of meal. I'm about to cook it, and then we're going to eat it, and then I'm going to die, and he's going to die. And Elijah speaks from the Lord and says unto her, fear not. By the way, that's what the Lord says to us. When he asks us to do something that sounds crazy, just go ahead and do what God wants you to do, and don't fear. Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me go eat later and die. But right now, make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy sons, or for thy son. For thus saith the Lord of Israel. Now listen. The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Look, you're going to have everything you need until the next time I say it's going to rain. Then the Lord's, he's going to take care of you until you're going to be able to take care of yourself again. Trust God with that. So look at verse 15 again. Now, he did exactly what he was told to do. Now, verse 15, and she went and did according to the sayings of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Father, I pray in the next few minutes, as we examine the truths that are in this passage, that you'll help us to determine to be what you want us to be in 2023, that we might represent you, and Father, we might trust you as Elijah did and as this widow woman did. God, may we trust you and may we see your provision for us, your protection in the midst of whatever goes on in this world. And Father, may we be a shining light to those that are around us, representing your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Elijah was a nobody. Elijah was somebody that nobody had ever heard of. And he comes and he confronts the king, and miraculous things happen. I want you to see four things this morning, and we'll be done very quickly. Number one, pursue your passions. Pursue your passions. Here is Elijah. And Elijah was he was a nobody. When I was thinking of this, a song came to my mind from 1968. It was written by John Lennon of the Beatles. It was called Nowhere Man. Anybody remember that song? Yes, those aged ones in here remember that. The song says this: he's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody. Doesn't have a point of view, knows not where he's going to. Isn't he a bit like you and me? Nowhere man, please listen. You don't know what you're missing. Nowhere man, the world is at your command. He's as blind as he can be. Just see what he wants to see. Nowhere man, can you see me at all? Nowhere man, not thinking about what he wants to do, not thinking about what he could accomplish, not going anywhere. Here is Elijah, who wasn't that way at all. He was a nobody. Nobody knew who he was, but He knew that God was not pleased with what was going on. He was a man who was passionate about the nation of Israel and his love for God, and he cared about the things of God, and he wanted to be a spokesman for God, and so God made him one. God used him because he had a passion, and he pursued that passion. The Bible tells us this in James chapter 5 and verse 17, and we'll look at this verse a couple of times this morning. Elijah, the Bible says, was a man subject to like passions as we are. He was just like you and me. He cared. He had feelings. He had emotions. Was he afraid to go and talk to the king? I'm sure he was trembling in his boots. As he was talking to the king, I was watching my grandson the other day. I took him to a park that had one of the great big jungle gyms like we have out here, but bigger. I took him to a park, and he wanted to climb to the top. And as he was climbing to the top, I could see he was scared to death, but he was going to do it because his little brother had done it. And his little brother has no fear. He's not got enough sense to have any fear. Clark has some fear. He's fallen. He knows what pain is like, and he doesn't want... But his little brother went scampering up the thing, and he thought, I got to do this too. So he starts climbing up, and I'm watching as his little feet are trembling as he's crawling up, but he's going to do it. He's going to make it. Listen, there are times that we face obstacles in our life, and they're not things that don't cause us fear. It's faith that helps us overcome fear. Can you say amen to that? He had a passion. He was a man subject to like passions as we are, and yet he prayed. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it did not rain on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. We're not told in the Old Testament how many years. He said, it's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain, and he walked away for 3.5 years. He is not Mr. Popular, yet he influenced his world. Why? Because he pursued his passions. Let me ask you a question. What are your goals for 2023? I'm not talking about New Year's resolutions. You know, I'm not going to eat for the next 3 years. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what do you want to do? What do you want to see for your family? Where do you want your family to go? Where do you want to be serving? What do you want your family, what do you want for your family's future? It's you determining today, listen, this is what I want, that will affect positively your family a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now. This last couple of days, we've just had what we call Tice Family Christmas. You say, what is Tice Family Christmas? It's absolute confusion and chaos in our home for 2 days. Everybody gets together, and we just had a ball. But I want you to understand this. We planned this last year. And so everybody got to take the time off. Everybody got together, and so we all got together and just had a great time. We gained weight that we had lost. Have people come to me and say, I lost so many pounds. I say, well, I found them. Found them the last couple of days. Anyway, we plan things. Listen, what are you planning? And I'm not talking just about a party for your family, but what do you want to do? Where do you want your kids to be 10 years from now? And what are the steps you're going to take to see that happen? What are the things you want to, how do you want to serve the Lord? How do you want to advance the kingdom? What do you want to be your part in the kingdom 10 years from now? When you say, wow, look what's happened, what will that be to you? What will that be to you? I can look back and I could say, I could just tell you story after story after story of things that have happened this past year that I really believe are an answer to prayer. It's so important that you decide, sit down with your wife, sit down with your husband, sit down alone with God and say, God, what is it that you want me to do to advance your kingdom this year? 2023 can be a great year for you. Just decide to pursue your passions. Number two, if you're going to pursue your passions, number two, you have to prioritize your walk with God. You got to prioritize your walk with God, which, by the way, means this, that certain bad things have got to go out of your life in order for good things to, for there to be good room for good things. There, some people say, I don't have time to pray. Well, if you don't have time to pray, it's because you got something in your life that's keeping you from there. It might be too much television. It might be too much internet. It might be too much whatever. Listen, the Bible tells us to flee from evil. In fact, it says to abstain from all appearances of evil. There's some things that we need to take out of our life so that we can fill them with the things that are right. The Bible tells us this, that Elijah was a man of prayer. We just saw that. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and yet he prayed. He prayed earnestly. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for the space of three and a half years, and he prayed again. He prayed again. And when he prayed again, the heavens gave rain and the earth brought forth her fruit. It's amazing. When we get to that story, it is absolutely amazing what God did. Listen, Elijah honored God when it was unpopular. Remember, the whole nation is saying, hey, we got to cancel Jehovah and we're going for Baal. You know, these Jehovah people are people that hate. And they have hate speech, and they're against this, and they're against that. He stood for truth in a time when truth was being reviled. Praying for drought again in an arid climate is not a popular idea. Yet, he sheltered under God's wing. He proclaimed God's truth, and he sheltered under the wing of God. I told our family a couple days ago, I said, it's so important. I cannot stress this. In our culture today, our culture is becoming more and more hostile to Christian values. So that if you stand and you say in our culture that certain things are right and certain things are wrong, then you have become a person who is promoting hate speech. You are becoming a homophobe. You are becoming a whatever. And we need to understand that it's important in this culture that every day you go before God. I don't care if it's 5 minutes. Every day you go before God and you say, God, I'm trusting you. I'm dependent upon you. I'm going to follow your direction. I'm under your watch care. I'm asking you to protect me. Place me under your wings. I can't tell you, Mom, how important it is you pray that for you and your children. Dad, for you and your wife and your children. I can't tell you how important it is that you pray for that daily. In the morning, in the evening, 2 or 3 times a day, just God, I'm trusting you. I want you to know I'm trusting you. By the way, when you trust God, then you'll do what he tells you to do. There needs to be a time of prayer in your life. There needs to be a time where you're calling on God every day. He prayed for drought. And I don't think he just prayed it once. I think every single day he said, Lord, your name's on the line. I told them that it's not going to rain in your name. Every day for 3.5 years he prayed the same prayer. Not only did he pray, he was a man who listened to the word of God. Verses 2-4, look at it. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded ravens to feed thee. Verse 5, so he went. Read that out loud with me. So he went. Let's do it one more time. So he went. That's amazing. He went and he did what God told him to do. You have to listen to the word of God. And then, again, in verse 5, he did what God told him to do. Don't just listen to it. Do what God's word says to do. Read the word of God with the purpose of getting God's direction. And then do what God tells you to do. Obey him. I would say along with that, you should plan as often as you possibly can in 2023 to be in church as often as possible. You say, I don't think I need that. Can I tell you this? If you don't need it, we need you. Kyle, I need to see your face. Nobody else may like it, but I like it. Glad you've covered part of it. The fact of the matter is, you are an encouragement to me. Christians need Christians. Nathan, Christians need Christians. We need one another. We need that encouragement. Brian, I look at you and I think, man, it's so good to see you. We need one another. We bear one another's burdens just by being with one another. It's nice to know that somebody else believes like you believe. It is. It's just an encouraging thing. We can't do it by ourselves. I would encourage you, prioritize your walk with God. Determine, let me tell you something else you ought to do. You ought to determine to sing to the Lord and listen to music every single day, Christian music. Just listen to music that will get you thinking about the Lord. One of the neatest things that my granddaughter got for Christmas was this. She got a little MP3 player. Now she's 8 years old. And we brought that to Pastor Shore. We asked Pastor Shore to put 200 Christian songs for little kids on there, or that are meaningful songs. And Pastor Shore spent, I don't know, for me it would have been hours, probably him 15 minutes, because he's very talented when it comes to that kind of stuff. So he put her on there. And so she could listen to music. You know, the Bible says to speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I don't like to listen to music. We ought to learn to like to listen to Christian music. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Let's sing those songs. Let them go over and over. The reason we start church with singing songs is because, number one, God commanded it. Number two, it just builds and builds and builds. Listen, determine to listen to Christian music. This isn't something that you have to give up, sacrifice time. Driving to work, listen to Christian music. Driving down the road, listen to Christian music and let it fill your heart with the truth of God. And let me say one other thing. Get in a small group. Get in a small group. Next week, we're starting connection classes again. Get involved. You say, I've never been to a connection class. Well, bad, bad, shame, shame. You need to get into a connection class. At 5 o'clock next Sunday evening, there'll be a bunch of people together, groups of 15 to 30 and 40 people get together, and it's an opportunity to interact and fellowship with others. And again, you say, well, I don't need that, but someone there might need you. They might need you. Just to shake hands and encourage them, you need to be involved. Make sure you get involved when there's a prayer group meeting, when there's a home host evening. Get involved in those things. It's so important. Stay involved. Get involved. He was a man of prayer. He was a man who honored God when it wasn't popular. He listened to the Word of God. He obeyed the Word of God. I would encourage you to do those things. Be in church as often as possible. Listen to Christian music. Sing Christian music to the Lord. And stay in a small group. Get involved. So Elijah pursued his passions. He prioritized his walk with God. Number three, purpose to stand for truth. No matter what, stand for truth. You don't have to be mean about it. I go on Facebook and Twitter, and sometimes I can only stay on for a little while because everybody's ripping everybody else apart. Look, you don't have to be like the enemy and speak evil of people just because they're speaking evil of you. I think one of the downfalls of leadership politically is when people arrogantly say unkind things about other people. I don't need to speak unkindly. I don't need to act like the world. I don't need to call people names in order to advance the kingdom of God. But I do need to stand for truth. The Bible says that our lips should be seasoned with grace. Our words should be seasoned with grace. The Bible says we should speak the truth, but we should speak the truth in love. So stand for the truth. Today, he declared that judgment was coming. He stood against a wicked king. He was unpopular in his culture. Today, immorality and the slaughter of innocents is all around us. There are people protesting in order to be able to have the right to kill their unborn children. This is horrible. There's people who are standing and saying they're pushing this woke agenda. They're pushing the LGBTQ agenda, which is totally and completely vile and godless. It's not only unholy, it's unnatural, and it's unhealthy. And we need to understand, we're not to despise these people, we're to love these people, because they're confused, they're messed up. But we need to stand against the wickedness, and we need to be willing. Jesus said that we are the salt and we are the light. We need to be willing to stand and be the salt and light. I'm telling you, Elijah was not popular. That's why God said, go hide. All right, you delivered the message, go and hide. He said, we need to do that. Look, after James tells us about Elijah being a man of prayer, this is what the Bible says. This is what James says in verses 19 and 20. He says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he that converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. He's talking about Elijah, and he's saying, look, Elijah stood in a controversial situation, and he spoke the truth, and he did that at his own peril. And he says, look, brethren, you should do the same. And if you just convert one person, man, you've saved them, their soul from death. If you've convinced a Christian to do right instead of wrong, you've saved him from physical death. If you've convert a lost person from the error of their ways and they get saved, man, you've saved them from eternal hell. So it's worth standing for truth. Can you say amen to that? Because if we don't speak the truth, nobody gets the truth, and everything falls apart. So Elijah stood for truth, and he proclaimed the truth, purpose to stand for truth. Pursue your passions. Prioritize your walk with God. Purpose to stand for truth, and then present yourself as a servant. Elijah said, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. You want me to go and make a proclamation to the king? Okay. You want me to run and hide? I'll go. You want me to go and find a servant woman, a widow woman? I'll do it. Just he found what God wanted him to do, and he did it. Can I encourage you to do this? Find a place to serve God this year. Say, God, and don't wait for 2, 3, 4 weeks. Just say, God, where do you want me to serve? There's all sorts of places in this local church you can find a place to serve. If you're not serving, pretty soon you'll be swaying. If you're not doing something for the Lord, pretty soon you're not going to be doing anything. You need to find a place. We can only grow we can only take in so much. Somebody said we're like sponges. You can only take in so much, and then you've got to be drained out in order to take in more. And if you're not being squeezed, then you're not letting out, then you're going to find yourself just what, I think, who was it? I think it was Sandy Patty who sang a song back in the 80s called A Big Fat Baby. That's what you come, is a big fat baby Christian doing nothing. Find a place of service. He did that. He went down. He did exactly what God wanted him to do. He did God's will, not his. In this story, I love the widow woman. She has, nobody knows who her name is. Nobody knows anything. We just know she was from Zarephath, and we know she was a widow, and we know she had nothing. But when God said, this is what I want you to do, you go feed that servant of God. You go feed my man Elijah. You go feed him. She said, okay, I'll do it. She found a place to serve. It's easy to find a place. Just ask God. Find a way to serve God. Do what God wants you to do. And God will use you in a wonderful way. So, as we enter into this new year, we're looking at the theme Tomorrowland. And again, I want to say this. You shape your own tomorrow. You will do it. There's nothing you can do about your past, but you can change what's going on in your life tomorrow. You can make your tomorrow. You don't have to wake up and say, oh, no, another day. No, you can wake up and say, one more year. Thank the Lord, we made it through 2022. We're still here. If you can do this, you got something to be thankful for. If you can walk, if you walked in here, be thankful for that. Be thankful for where he has you and what he's done, and just decide something. I'm going to do something for God in 2023. I would encourage you, build a better tomorrow. Your tomorrow will be what you make it. Your tomorrow will be what you make it, so make it great. Pursue your passions. Pursue your passions. Prioritize your walk with God. Purpose to stand for the truth and present yourself as a servant. Let God use you this year to shape tomorrow. Say amen to that. Father, help us to take your truth. Help us to apply your word. Thank you for the examples that you've given us in Scripture. Thank you for Elisha. Thank you for how you used him. And Father, I thank you for letting James share with us that he was a man just like us. I pray that Christians today will determine to share your truth with others. And Father, I ask this in the name of Jesus.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.